Good morning to you all. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. And today is graduation Sunday for Grace Bible Church. We have two seniors today. And so I wanted to kind of encourage them and also those that have graduated from college and will be graduating very soon. In my cards that I do every year, I always try to pick a central Bible verse to leave with the graduates. And this year, I chose Psalm 27 in verse 4, and I wanted to share it with you. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Now think about what the psalmist is saying there. One thing have I desired. You know, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you need to get a hold of just a few principles and live by those principles every day. You know, if you try to do the shotgun approach to life and you just try to hit and miss, and well, I did that okay today, I didn't. No, you need to get a set of principles that you operate from. And what David is saying here, one thing have I desired, just one, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Do you think that that's the desire of most people today that's gathered in churches all across America? That they really want to be with the Lord and dwell with Him all the days of their life? I wonder sometimes. And then just to do this while you're there, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Folks, whatever you consider to be beautiful pales. I mean, it's just nothing compared to the beauty of the Lord. We have got to get back in America and in our churches and in those in pastoral leadership, the understanding that what thrills the heart of God's people is the beauty of the Lord, not how big our buildings are, not how many programs we have, not this, not that. We've got all these other things that we've thrown out there and tried to see if it sticks to the wall. What we've got to show people is the beauty of the Lord, and if they're not satisfied with that, something's wrong with their heart. Let's just face it. Something we say, well, we gotta try to do this for them, and then they'll be happy. No, they won't. If they don't love the beauty of the Lord, then there's nothing that can be done for them apart from salvation. Salvation changes what you consider to be beautiful. Isn't that amazing? You know, every teenage boy wanting to find a beautiful girl. I remember in college, I had a roommate, and he said, the thing I want to leave with is I want to have a beautiful girl hanging on my arm when I graduate. And I said, well, you're going to be disappointed. First of all, there's not that many of them out there looking for you. You know, it's an amazing thing. If I could just have that, you know. Listen, when we get to be 50, 60, 70, guess what happens to all that youthful beauty? You know, there's beauty queens all over the place in nursing homes. But they wouldn't win a beauty contest now. No offense to anybody. But what happens to beauty? It fades. Yeah. What happens to good-looking young men that are strong and they've got a physique? Guess what? It turns to flab. Okay? And the hair turns gray. But you know what we have to look forward to is deterioration. But you know whose beauty? You know whose beauty never changes? The Lord's. The Lord's beauty never changes. You better get your beauty brain fixed. Okay? You better find out what's beautiful, and that's the Lord. And you ought to desire, graduates, to spend all the days of your life admiring the beauty of the Lord. If you focus it down here, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be very disappointed. There is a young man that was snatched into eternity yesterday who took several people with him in Southern California, just off of the campus of the University of California at Santa Barbara. He was a young man that had grown up with everything. Money. His dad was the executive producer of movies such as The Hunger Games that have become so popular in the culture today. But this young boy wasn't happy. He was miserable. He hated the Hunger Games because his dad spent so much time on that he didn't spend time with me. And he went on this long rampage on YouTube about all the sorrows and things and how he wasn't able to be like other young people and enjoy all the pleasures of this world. For some reason, he had been turned aside. And so yesterday, he loaded his car with automatic weapons and knives, and he murdered three people by stabbing them to death, three girls that he liked, and they had spurned him, and so he stabbed them to death, and then the rest of them he shot with a machine gun, and then I'm not sure if he turned the gun on himself or whether they shot him, but I think he probably committed suicide. That young man missed it. He missed this world, and I'm afraid he missed the next, because he did not admire the beauty of our Lord. He admired the beauty of this world, and you will always be disappointed. So graduates, I've taken a little bit longer time today, but I hope and pray that you will determine right now, not when you turn 21, but right now, that you're going to follow the Lord and you're going to seek His beauty all the days of your life.
Amen. Take your hymn books now and turn to number 206. Hymn number 206, we're going to sing, first of all, He Leadeth Me, number 206. We'll stand together to sing. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this beautiful day that You've given to us. Lord, another privilege and opportunity to come to gather with Your people, Lord, with this local church, this local body of believers. And Father, we thank You that we can share the Word of God this morning. We can hear the proclamation of it being heralded forth from the pulpit, Lord. We thank You that You've given us Your Word. And Father, I pray that it would continue to guide and direct our hearts and lives as we hear it this morning. Help us to have the right heart. Help us to understand, Lord, that we stand in need of You. Lord, we are not by any means perfect. We don't have things all figured out, but we need Your direction. We need Your guidance, and I pray this morning that Your Word will be directed to our hearts. Lord, we thank You for the privilege we have to sing these good hymns. Lord, to be with Your people, to fellowship together. Lord, and I pray that You'd bless every aspect of this service. Lord, it's a special day for us here at our ministry. We just think of our graduates this morning as they prepare for the commencement service this afternoon. Lord, we think especially of those that are in our church, for Devin and Kyle. Lord, we thank you so much for them. Lord, we thank you for their godly lives, their testimony, their example that they've had for several years, Lord. We just praise you for that. And we know, Lord, that it's their desire to serve you. It's their desire to be faithful to you and faithful to the things that they've learned. And we just ask, Lord, that they would, as our pastor said, that, Lord, they would see your beauty. They would look at the eternal things and not be distracted with the temporal. Continue to guide and direct their lives, Lord, and be with their families as well. We thank you for this special day of acknowledgement and recognition for them. Father, we also think of this Memorial Day weekend. And Lord, we think of our country. We think of the many in our military that have, Lord, given their lives, sacrificed their lives for the continuation of liberty and freedom in our land. Lord, we thank you for that. We should not take it by any means lightly. Lord, we are sorry for many times our country just turning to materialistic type thinking and selfish thinking and turning things into holidays. But Lord, we seriously want to thank you this morning and contemplate, Lord, those that have given their lives and for the freedom that we continue to have in our land. Lord, we do pray that you would speak to, Lord, our leaders, those that are in places of political office, and that, Lord, you would turn their hearts and minds to the things of the Lord. And Father, help us, to, no matter what our political leaders do, help us to be faithful to your word, to do what is right, and to be strong in these days for you. And Lord, I thank you for those that are serving even in our country now, Lord, that are deployed, that are active, that are trainers, whatever the situation is that they are in the military. Continue to bless them, Lord. We thank you for them, their willingness to serve. And Lord, I ask that you'd also be with those that we think of this morning that are going through difficult times. And Father, I ask that you'd bless our service again today. Be with the singing, the offering, be with the preaching of your word, be with our time of fellowship together. Lord, we thank you that we can be here with this group of people. We thank you for each one of them and for all that they mean to this church and for, Lord, their walk with you. I pray that you continue to bless them. And Lord, if there be this morning even one that does not know you as Savior, even one that has been struggling, that has been fighting against it for maybe many years even, I pray, Lord, that as God's word is spoken, that they would submit to your word, the Holy Spirit would convict, and that we'd see souls come to our Savior as well. So, Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us this morning and edify us as your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Turn over just a few pages now to number 224. Number 224, this familiar hymn, Day by Day, number 224.
Thank you.
One more hymn before we have a special this morning, number 608, Christ Liveth in Me, number 608.
Christ liveth in me.
Take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn with me to the book of Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 4. We're going to read the entire chapter as we consider for our graduates today their essential role. God has for every one of our young people and for every one of our middle-aged people and for every one of our maturing people, we'll put it that way, God has an essential role for you. And your ministry, your task, is to find out what that essential role is. When we come to chapter 4 here, something has just happened that is going to radically change everything for every Jew living in captivity in Babylon. For the king has just announced that on the 13th day of the 12th month, which would correspond to March for us on the Jewish calendar, that all of the Jews are going to be slaughtered. Can you imagine them announcing ahead of time a certain day and a certain month that all Christians would be killed? That everyone were to rise up against the Christians and to kill them? We cannot imagine, I am sure, that taking place. But that's what happened in Babylon. And so the word spread, but the Shushan press corps didn't cover the news. They didn't share that news with all the folks there at the palace. And we find that Esther did not know that. And that's kind of the backdrop of what leads to chapter 4. I begin reading in verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai, or Mordecai, however how you want to say that, commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall there be enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my handmaidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Father in heaven, we thank you for this precious passage of Scripture that has been given to us And Lord, I pray we might take to heart some of the lessons that are found here about taking up our essential role, the role of our lifetime, the duty that you have for us, the purpose that you have for us here in this world. Lord, I pray that we might know what it is and that we might carry it out. We pray for our graduates today. Lord, this is a very special day for them as they graduate from high school. But Lord, it's also a day of doubts and perhaps even fears and maybe things that aren't so clear right now. We pray, Father, that they might seek Thy face and that they might know their essential role in this world and that they might follow Your will in everything that they do. And we'll give You the praise and glory for all that You do today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Jewish population in Babylon was stunned when the news broke that the king had signed a decree that on the 13th day of the 12th month, they were going to be killed. There is always sadness when evil rules. I think we are beginning to know that even in our own country. We are watching the decline of our nation. We are seeing evil exalted. We're seeing righteousness abased in our country. If you stand up for the Word of God and you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, you are ridiculed today. You are called a homophobe. You are called all kinds of names. And they will not rest until you come around to their way of thinking. At least that's what they think. But you know what? We're still going to follow the Bible. Because that's what God's people do. Now, those that are not God's people, that just come to church and make an appearance, they will not follow God's Word. We find that over and over again. Remember in Sodom and Gomorrah? How that Abraham thought that within that city there were at least 100 people that loved God. Wasn't the case. Then he thought, well, perhaps there's 50 people that will come out and be separate from Sodom and Gomorrah as God's going to pour out His judgment. And he found out there weren't even 50 people. You see, in his mind and heart, he thought that Lot and his family had been a testimony to those people, that he had been salt and light to them, but he had not. All that was left was a handful of people, less than 10, in all that city-state of Sodom and Gomorrah that loved God. Oh, I'm sure there were some that were professors. They had made some profession, but the reality was that when the going got tough and when these believers were exposed, Lot and his wife and their two daughters, and they began to leave the city and people began to ask questions, well, where is leader Lot going? By the way, he served in the town council there. He served in the gate of the city. Where is leader Lot going? They're leaving the city with these two gentlemen that came in here and they're saying something about there's going to be judgment from God. And then laughter, I'm sure, arose as they were mocked and scoffed as they left the city. Too much for Lot's wife. She turned back in disobedience to God's Word. By the way, if you don't obey God on a daily basis, it's very unlikely that in a crisis moment you will continue to follow the Lord. You understand that? If you're not following the Lord today, and you're not going to follow the Lord tomorrow, and you didn't follow the Lord yesterday, and then a crisis comes, and all of a sudden, oh my Lord, what are we going to do here? It's very unlikely that you will do what the Lord wants you to do. And so Lot's wife turned back to her love, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and she was turned to a pillar of salt. Only three escaped, Lot and his two daughters, and you know the rest of the sordid story that was behind that. Of people that were not obeying God in the city. And so the city went with them. You understand that? The city was in their heart and it went with them. Just because they changed locations did not mean that their heart was changed. And so you see incest. And you see the start of two nations that would plague the children of Israel to this day. To this very hour. It's a problem. Now, here is the news that has spread throughout the land. The couriers have carried the message all across the land. But for some reason, Esther doesn't know. She was living in a special place in the palace where the king's wives lived. It was a place of comfort. It was a place of perfume. It was a place of exotic cuisine. It was a place of royalty. And the news of the kingdom really didn't touch them because they were just served the king's pleasure, and they didn't need to worry themselves with all the other complexities of running a kingdom. And so they were just there. And one of the chambermaids came to Esther and said, "Listen, your relative Mordecai is at the gate and he is in sackcloth and ashes. And he's crying out." And so Esther was a little bit embarrassed by what was happening. And so she sent a change of clothes and some washing materials out to Mordecai at the gate. And so the servant went out there and said, "Listen, Esther wants you to get cleaned up. This is not a good thing that you're doing here at the palace gate. Would you get cleaned up, please? And Esther would be very happy if you would do that." And he said, "No, I won't. And here's a message that you need to take back to her." And the story unfolds here of Esther being confronted about the reality of what is about to take place. Now, I want to share four things this morning from this passage of Scripture that I hope will help not only our graduates, but will help all of us. And we've got some young people now that are juniors that will be seniors next year. We've got young people that will be graduating from college very soon. And there are four principles that I believe this passage teaches us from the lips of Mordecai that will help us. We have grown accustomed, I'm afraid, in Christianity with the culture. We've gotten comfortable with the culture. And we are finding more and more young people who are leaving the church never to return. I think that's a sad thing that's taking place. It grieves my heart. But why is it so? Because they feel more comfortable and they feel more in tune with the culture than they do with the church. Now, why is that? Well, there are several reasons. One may be the fact that so many of our young people are lost. They've grown up around religion, and that's all they've caught. They've caught the religion part of it, but they haven't received Jesus Christ. My daily prayer for our children and our young people at Grace Bible Church is that they will not leave our church with religion, but if they leave our church, they'll leave with Jesus Christ. And parents and grandparents, if that's not your prayer for your children and your grandchildren, you're failing. You are failing your families, if it's not your daily prayer. "Well, I just want them to get a good job. I just want them to be successful. I just don't want them to go to jail." Oh, those are lofty goals. Okay? Wow. Is that all? Mordecai had more for Esther. Mordecai was the one that was charged of taking care of her. We don't know anything about Esther's parents. But we do know that Mordecai, whether he was an uncle or whether he was a cousin, we don't know for sure about the connection that's given here because of the language barrier in Hebrew. But we do know this, that Mordecai expected more from Esther than what she was giving. She had grown comfortable in the palace. "Oh, my relative is out there at the gate. Get some clothes. And take some cleaning stuff out there and let's get him cleaned up. Now that's not acceptable. I don't want my relative to look like that here at the palace." She had missed the entire import of what was taking place. She had missed the entire thing, and thankfully, Esther had a relative that spoke up and set her straight. Now, my first lesson that I want us to learn is this, and I direct this to our young people, and that is this: surround yourself with godly people to give you advice. Surround yourself with godly people. Now, who was surrounding her in the palace? Other women, servants of the king, palace aides. I mean, she was in a group of people that didn't believe like she believed. And so she had that constant culture around her in the palace. And so it didn't even dawn on her that her relative will say that Mordecai was her uncle, that her uncle is out there at the gate in sackcloth and ashes. Now, for a Jewish girl to know that her relative is in sackcloth and ashes, something dramatic has happened. Something dramatic has happened. She missed it all. And Mordecai is very blunt with her in verse 14, sets the record straight. He is a godly advisor. Notice this, please. Verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth, now get this, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I am thankful for Mordecai. Here was a man that had his head screwed on straight. He was in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's thinking, you know what? I need to send him a change of garment. It didn't even cross her mind about the import of the moment. It didn't cross her mind to say, why would my relative be at the gate in sackcloth and ashes? Something serious must have happened. Wasn't there? Why was that the case? Because she had been absorbed in palace life. Babylonian life, the culture of her day. And so, being separated as she was in many ways from the Jews, and by the way, she had won a beauty contest. All right, think about that. Think about how that plays into our culture today. I have known some mothers that put their children in beauty contests, and I've seen the outcome. Whenever they became teenagers, wasn't pretty. No pun intended. It wasn't pretty. We have watched young people be led down the road to hell on a beauty pageant walkway. Because what is the focus? Me. Self. I think Esther was well-meaning in her desire to see her uncle clothed, but she didn't get it. And so Mordecai had to be very straight with her. And she responded rightly. That's a beautiful picture in the Bible here that I want you to see. Number one, young people, talking to our seniors, but also talking to all of our, surround yourself with godly people. Now, what is the tendency? The tendency in our culture is to surround ourselves with our peers, our friends. And then when we do that, we listen to what they have to say. She was surrounded by her peers. She was surrounded with other women her age. She was surrounded by the culture of the palace. And let me tell you, it was a pagan culture. She was a member of the king's harem. Don't forget that. All right? Let's not gloss over the story and make it like it's nothing here. She was a member of the king's harem and had not been called to his presence for 30 days. So you need to understand. Mordecai understands and knows this, and he is very blunt. And thankfully she had an advisor that she listened to snap her out of her coma that she was in and bring her to clear thinking. Why am I here in this place? Now, seniors and other young people, have you ever asked that question? Why are you here? Why did God allow you to be born? And then why did God allow you to be in this place? Why did God allow you to have the opportunities that you have? Christian education, Christian families, the opportunity to be in a Bible-preaching church, to be in a Sunday school class, in a youth group, and to have all of those opportunities. Why are you here? If you haven't asked that question, then you are absorbing yourself in the culture of the day because nobody else in the culture is asking that question. That young man who died yesterday at 21 years of age lived a self-absorbed life. He had everything he ever wanted. He was driving a BMW to carry out his misdeeds yesterday, murder and mayhem. He had everything he ever wanted. He had the best college education funded by his father, $100,000 a year. He had everything a person could ever dream of, but he was completely self-absorbed. He had never asked the question and came up with the right answer, why am I here? He did not know what his essential role was, and so he killed 7 people yesterday. He killed himself, and there are 13 right now in the hospital. Machine gun wounds from a person that had no idea why they're here on planet Earth. No parents that cared enough to confront. No advisors around him to steer him away from evil. But instead, he was completely absorbed into technology. He was absorbed in all the vileness and the wickedness of these video games that murder and all kinds of filthy and vile things. That was his life. And then he went out and played it out to the loss of 7 people yesterday in Southern California. Now let me just ask you this morning, who are your advisors? Who are your advisors? Who do you listen to? Well, my friends are good. I have good friends. Well, I'm glad that you have good friends, but I'm going to tell you something. They haven't lived life. And they haven't gone down the road of difficulty and trial, and they haven't gone through those experiences that God brings people through. You need to surround yourself with godly people, and you need to listen to what they have to say. If you surround yourself with just your friends and you listen to what they have to say, I'll guarantee you'll end up in ruin and destruction. Thankfully, Esther listened to the wise counsel of her uncle Mordecai. What a blessing. And she was spared. Because she listened, she was spared. We know how the book ends, don't we? How wonderful. But it started right there. Listening. If she had not listened, she would have died. And her family with her. But because she listened to wise counsel, even though she said to herself, if I perish, I what? I perish. Now, she wasn't very old. Maybe she was in her late teens, maybe early 20s. She wasn't very old. She was young and she was beautiful. But she had the wisdom to listen. Do you young people have the wisdom to listen? I trust that you do. Esther had missed to start with. Her thinking was skewed. She thought that somehow she would be untouched by the decree that had been made. She did not realize her role in all of this. I think that she was just absorbed in the palace culture, and she was living the life that every girl probably dreams of in this world, to have it all, to have beauty, to have wealth, to have popularity, to be known. I mean, that's what she thought, and that's what she was living. But she was shaken to the core by the message that was given to her uncle when the clothes came back, and then she read the decree. She realized then what was at stake: her people and her family. She had to listen. I want to take you to the second thing very quickly in the time that we have. The second thing that we need to take to heart about our essential role: selfish thinking will keep you from your essential role before God. Notice verse 11. All the king's servants, she attempted to school Mordecai, right, about protocol. Now, do you think that Mordecai cared anything about the protocol of Shushan the palace? Whenever the decree has been written that on the 13th day of the 12th month, we're all going to die. All of the Jews are going to die. And Esther schools Mordecai in court protocol. Isn't that nice? That's what Mordecai needed to hear, right? Mordecai, I don't think you understand the gravity of my situation. What was she doing? She was giving a selfish reason why she couldn't help to start with. She was giving a selfish reason about why, and it was a really good one too. Court protocol. Hey, nobody goes uninvited to the king. If you go uninvited to the king, you're dead. Don't you know that, Mordecai? I mean, you just don't go into the palace and talk to the king. You have to be invited unless he lowers his golden scepter, and then you can approach him. Send that word back to my uncle. And so off the chambermaid went, or man, whatever, whoever went at that particular time, to take the message to Mordecai, to school him in palace protocol. And Mordecai said, don't you think for one moment in his answer that you're going to get away with this. You are going to die. Selfish thinking. Oh, let me tell you something. It's pervasive. It's pervasive in my heart. It's pervasive in your heart. The first thing we always consider is ourselves. It plays out. I've had numerous award ceremonies this week. And it's always fun, especially the little kids, the pre-teers. Some of them are just run up there and they're beaming ear to ear. And they want to go grab the trophy off the table. They don't want to take it from the coach. So the coach has to redirect them over there to get their trophy. But I want that big trophy over there. You don't get the big trophy, you get this trophy over here. And then you have some that won't come. They're just embarrassed. They don't want to come. But most of them do. And it's fun to listen to them beforehand. I have the table all set up there and the kids come up there and they're all looking at the trophies that are on there. And say, who gets the big trophy? Do I get the big trophy? You know? They don't ask, does my teammate get the big trophy? Does my mama get the big trophy? Does my grandma get the big trophy that brought me to all the practices and the games? No. Who is it? Do I get the big trophy? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, now, don't be down on those little children. They're so cute to hear them do that. You know what cute will do for you? Cute will send you to hell. Now, I know I'm being blunt here. But the expression of the heart comes out in every way, shape, and form. Me first. Me first. Mr. Brainerd, would you call our team first? No, we're going to have to go by place. Well, that'll be our team. Last place. Yeah. No, listen. Selfish thinking will keep you from your essential role before God. Esther tried to school Mordecai in court protocol, but she was way off in her evaluation of this situation. This situation was life and death for her. And she was worried about dying, going before the king. And Mordecai's worried about the entire Jewish nation in captivity dying. This was much bigger than you, Esther. Are you getting my point this morning? Are you listening? It was a young teenage lady that she was just thinking about herself. You know, I don't want to die. Well, nobody wants to die. But this is much bigger than you. It's about the entire Jewish nation. Third thing. Silence is not golden when you ought to speak up. Silence is not golden. You heard that expression, silence is golden? Well, it's not when you should speak up. Listen as I read from the New American Standard Version, verses 13 and 14. I want you to listen to the words. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine in your heart." All right, now get the import. Do not imagine in your heart that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty now for just this reason. You see the emphasis there? This is much bigger than your selfish aims and desires. You must go to the King and speak up. You must go to the King and speak up. Listen, young people. It's funny how today that the only time that we speak up is when we can hide behind a laptop or a tablet. On Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name the social media. Boy, people can speak up then, hiding behind their laptop, saying all those nasty, awful things about so-and-so that we would never say to their face. But listen, God needs some boldness from young people who will stand up to their peers and say, that's wrong, I'm not going to participate with that. Wouldn't that be refreshing? To have some young people that will put their selfishness aside and will speak up for God. That's what basically Mordecai was saying. You cannot be silent, Esther. This is not a time for silence. This is a time to go see the King and speak up for your people. And I want you to know something today. It's time for us to speak up. We need to speak up because our world is quickly closing in on those that name the name of Jesus Christ. And you need to be counted for Him. Don't be ashamed. Silence is not golden when you ought to speak up. And then finally here, step up and fulfill your essential role. Step up. You ever been asked to step up and do something? Something you didn't want to do? You know, it's not easy to do certain jobs. But sometimes you just have to step up and do it. I think about those people that labor every day in nursing homes. My heart goes out to them. It's not an easy job. It requires doing the lowliest of tasks. It requires loving people that are screaming at you, cursing at you, and carrying out your job with a smile and making sure that they get the same care as the sweet lady next door that always has a pleasant smile and always has something nice to say. But this person over here is suffering maybe from Alzheimer's or maybe from dementia or whatever, and their mind is not what it used to be. And so they're not nice. They're mean. They have to conduct themselves in a professional fashion. It's time for us to step up. Esther, this is not time to be quoting court protocol. This is time for you to go to the King. Whether you die or not, you need to face up to the King and tell Him that what He has done is wrong and that He needs to provide some other remedy, some relief for the children of Israel. And she listened and she stepped up. What a glorious testimony. She stepped up. Notice what she said. She sent word back to Mordecai, verse 16, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights, or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise." Oh, it wasn't about, all right, Mordecai, I want you to get a big prayer meeting together, Shushan. I want y'all to fast for 3 days and three nights while we think about what we're going to do back here. That's not what she said, is it? It's changed. She's gone from palace culture now to defending her people. You ever heard of these mama bear, that cliche, a mama bear defending her children? All right, I've had to deal with a few mama bears over the years, and it's not pleasant sometimes, you know. But they're looking out for their kid. Somebody mistreats their child, look out. That's just a mother's instinct. Well, I want to tell you something. Something turned in her heart, and she said, "I will go to the King in 3 days. If I perish, I perish. But I am going to go and I'm going to defend my people." And praise God, because one teenage girl boldly went before the King. The children of Israel were spared through the gracious hand of God. Sometimes the essential role just involves one person. One teenage girl. And an uncle behind her, setting her straight. How about that, young people? You may not know what your essential role is right now. But you know what? As time progresses, God begins to develop the heart and mind about what I need to be doing with my life, what God wants me to do, and then take up that essential role and do it faithfully. You need to go home and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you haven't done so, you need to get it. And I challenge you to read it. We need to be wakened up in our church today, and I'm talking about the church in general all across America. We are living in Shushan the palace. We've gotten soft. We need to be reminded about what it means to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't easy. But this teenage young lady, she got it. She picked up on the fact of what Mordecai said. It may very well be, Esther. They didn't know. They're living in the moment. They don't know what history is going to record about Esther. We're talking about her some 3,000 years after she was here. What a picture. Mordecai says, it may be that God put you in this place for just this reason, for such a time as this. How about it, young people? Are you ready to take up your essential role? Your essential role does not involve selfishness. It involves serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you'll take these four lessons with you. Surround yourself with godly advisors. Selfish thinking will keep you from your essential role, so get rid of it. Silence is not golden when you ought to speak up. And then finally, step up and fulfill your essential role. Would you bow your heads? Father in heaven, we thank you for the testimony of Esther. Lord, we thank you that she got her thinking straightened out. It took some blunt language from her uncle to get her back on track, but I'm thankful that she responded rightly. And Lord, I pray that the straight talk that we've given to our young people and to our church families today will linger in hearts. Lord, we've got a play mentality today that's just like living in Shushan the palace. The news had spread all over the land, and yet inside the palace, nobody knew about it. They didn't know. And the reason that they didn't know is that they were otherwise occupied. And I'm afraid that in the church today, we're otherwise occupied with all kinds of other pretty things that attract our attention. And we want to play. We don't want to get down to business to serve the Lord. I pray, dear Father, that you would work in the hearts and lives of our young people. I cannot help but think that you desire from all of these young people, those that will go out and take their place in this pagan culture that we live in today and be like Esther. I pray that you would raise them up, that they will not be afraid and fearful, but that they might be courageous and that they might take up their essential role and fulfill it. Father, I pray that you would work in hearts today. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let's turn to number 502 as we close this morning. We thank the Lord for the message. Number 502, this is a familiar hymn, and I don't want it to become cliché-ic. We sing it in school quite a bit after the pledge to the Christian flag in elementary. I think the kids sing it almost every day. We sing it in our chapels, stand up for Jesus. And that's exactly what Esther had to do. She had to get over the selfishness. She had to get over the culture's voice that was in her ear, and she had to just stand up for our Lord. So I pray that we take that same attitude into our lives, especially for our seniors and our other teenagers that are getting near that time, that they would also stand for the Lord as they go forth into life. Let's stand then and sing number 502, verse number 1, Stand Up for Jesus. Father, we thank you for who you are and for all that you've done for us. And that, Lord, when we stand for you, we're standing on the side of victory. We're standing on the side of one that is the Lord indeed. We thank you, Lord, for this example, these principles, four principles from the life of Esther, this tough situation that she was put into, but yet, Lord, how you had a work in her heart to remove the selfishness and all the other influences in her life, and to be able to have the courage to stand up and to speak for her Lord and for her people. Father, I pray that you would be with all of us, not just our graduates, not just those that are becoming juniors and seniors for next year, those that are graduating college as well, but Lord, for all of us to continue to stand for what is right in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the message. And I pray that you just now bless the rest of our day and the activities this afternoon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you today.